1. Davenswood Court, Buckinghamshire, August 1819. A droplet of perspiration trickled between Shona's breasts, leaving a dribbly, sticky trail, despite her frantic fanning and the conservatory's open doors. Would this summer's sweltering temperatures never cease? How was she to appear dignified and fresh when moisture beaded every part of her person, from her brow to her toes, tucked into quaint new turquoise slippers? Desperate for relief, and despite the impropriety, she'd removed her bonnet and gloves. Who would know anyway? They, along with her parasol and the book she'd thought to read but abandoned, now lay atop a charming wrought-iron bench situated beside the far door. Clawing tendrils of hair stuck to her temples, and she feared her Indian sprigged muslin gown, chosen specifically for the fabric's airiness, exhibited humiliating damp spots in mortifying places. Fingers spread, she held one hand beneath the miniature waterfall cascading from the upper level of the burbling fountain, centred in the greenhouse. Even the water felt warm to her touch, and she would have forsaken shortbread for a month if she could stand beneath the falls of Brouar's gushing flow at this very moment. She patted her forehead, and then her cheeks with her wet fingers. The lush greenery and colourful flowers, artfully displayed throughout Davenswood Court's hothouse, including a lemon and an orange tree, thrived in the tropical atmosphere. Not so Shona. She wilted like a pansy, plopped in freshly poured oolong tea. Selecting the most humid building on the estate to steal a few moments alone hadn't been the wisest of decisions, but even amidst this torrid heat, she relished the peace and privacy she'd filched by doing so. Truth to tell, she'd also fled Miss Rossington and her two cohorts, the Dundercroft sisters. That trio of mean-spirited chits had been nothing but malicious since Shona had arrived yesterday. Lacy fan splayed in her left hand, and lifting her skirts to a most indelicate height with her right, Shona ventured to the conservatory's other door. Once there, she covertly surveyed Davenswood Court's sprawling, neat-as-a-tailor's-seams lawns. She saw no one addle-pated enough to attempt a stroll beneath the late afternoon sun's punishing rays. Excellent. A bittersweet smile tipped her mouth. She wasn't ready to face the house party's growing throng just yet. Never would, truth be told. She was, to say the least, completely, hopelessly, and chronically socially inept. Oh, put her in a room with family members or close friends, and she produced the wittiest dialogue, the most intelligent, thought-provoking conversations, even humorous riposts. But amongst casual acquaintances, or, worse yet, strangers, utterly hopeless. A chair cushion or a teacup displayed more finesse and cleverness. A wistful sigh escaped her as she eyed the sparkling indigo lake beyond the well-tended greens. Bordered by a grove of towering, thickly leafed, gnarly-branched oaks, the refreshing water beckoned. What she wouldn't give to strip her stockings and slippers from her sweaty legs and feet and soak her toes in the cool depths. Out of the question, of course. More's the pity. Despite the heat, an icy shudder scythed across her shoulders. Ugh! Just imagine the elevated brows, pinched mouths and censured superior glances from the hoity-toity upper crust, even now mingling within the manor house. The upper 10,000 weren't all pretentious and judgmental, of course. Regrettably, she seemed to be a magnet for those who were. Hence, Shona had determined to remain as inconspicuous and innocuous as possible for the interminable 7 days, 11 hours and... She squinted at the blazing sun... however many torturous odd minutes remained before her zealously anticipated departure. Too bad this wasn't Weddeford Abbey, her Scottish estate, her blessedly temperate, mild-weather home. There she could frolic about barefoot, gown hiked to her thighs, or swim naked as a robin if she wished. Which, naturally, being a reserved and modest creature of 20, 21 tomorrow, and possessing a title in her own right, she didn't. Very much. Very often. Last evening, several male guests, originally dismissing her as a frumpy, somewhat plump, beneath-their-touch Scot, became comically attentive and moon-eyed upon learning of her position and not-so-modest fortune. Worse than hunting hounds in full cry, once they'd caught the scent of her money and power. A Lady Lord of Parliament. Shona had finally stopped trying to explain the complicated title to the cod-pated popinjays. She wished the Scots referred to the noble rank as a barony, like the English did. So much simpler.